B-Pod Studios.
O'clock hour, Mike Fasinelli Show, brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop. Created jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. You know, topics like this cruise thing, it starts to take on a life of its own when you bring something like this up and you get all kinds of feedback. I forgot a few good men.
Yeah, and that's...
Now, here's why. It's one of my favorite movies. I love it. I watch it all the time. He lost me early in the movie with the bad softball swing. I'm sorry. I saw him take batting practice, and it diluted the whole rest of the movie for him, me, as far as his performance.
Really?
Yes, it did.
Oh, man.
You thought he should have been better, right? Well,
you can't have a guy can't swing a baseball bat taking BP. It dilutes the whole thing.
Yeah, see, what we see him do a lot is run in movies. He's good at running.
All right.
But not so good at swinging the bat.
Like a chopped down, you know, type of thing. It lost me. But I thought his performance was kind of contrived, to be honest with you.
I mean,
in the movie.
It's Jack's movie.
Yeah, Jack. Totally blessed.
Yes, it's Jack's movie.
But Sugar Man is one. You obviously have to include that in top Tom Cruise films.
Yeah, but yeah. He is underrated. Yeah. And I still say if you go
his
from...
His body work is immense.
Yes, if you go from Outsiders through Mission Impossible 2, it's as good as anyone to ever live. But...
Prolific.
Yes.
I also forgot the great movie, Cocktail. Yeah, hi, I can forget that thespian performance in Cocktail, where they started, he and Brian Brown, the Aussie actor, started the tropical bar. What was it called? No, they came back to New York and did that.
I don't remember.
What was the bar called?
What was it called?
Cocktails and Dreams.
Cocktails.
All right, now here's a question for you, but specifically for Booney, our producer at NBC Sports Philadelphia, who's amazing at trivia. In A Few Good Men, the television shows big hits by a member of the Atlanta Braves and a member of the Baltimore Orioles in two specific occasions. A Braves player hits a home run. The Orioles player gets a game-winning hit. Who are the players? Ah, this is the ultimate Few Good Men trivia question.
Man, that's a hard question,
let's see if
man.
Booney gets this.
Yeah, Booney will probably
get
it.
Well, let's see if he gets it. Let's go to Matthew in Upper Darby. Matthew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matthew.
Hey, guys, love when you guys talk about the movie stuff. I mean, I'm really listening for the sports, but I really enjoy the movie stuff. But just getting on to my point on Foles, I know you guys probably disagree with most of the fans out there about Foles. Most of the fans want Foles to stay over Wentz, mainly because he won the Super Bowl.
Is it most at this point? I would say.
Yeah, definitely. From the fan standpoint, that's clear. I know the talent level is more on Wentz, but from a fan, I don't know what you want to call it, but we get with, Foles for obvious reasons. He's a winner. But I want to also point out about Foles, because you guys have been riding the Foles bandwagon, and I don't get that. I don't understand why you guys are so obsessed with trying to ride this guy out.
Markelle Foles?
Yeah, you guys know Markelle Foles, right?
We haven't brought his name up since he's been on the show.
You guys have been riding his jog for about a year now.
Well, how?
Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
What do you mean? What do you mean? Matthew? What does that mean? He's been an abject failure so far. How are we riding his jock?
Oh my God!
Well, tell him. Don't say oh my God. Tell me how. Tell me how we've been riding his jock. Like, what's your interpretation of us riding his jock?
When you have it on your chin, when you notice every single day, you guys have been talking about not every single day, but you guys have been talking about this with Foles he's got potential.
Matthew, have you lived here recently? Have you been in town recently?
Of NBA. He's the biggest bust, and you have it all over your chin.
Matthew, I appreciate the call, but I don't know what you're smoking. Because we haven't brought up Markelle Foles in months. We never even talk about him. When we've talked about him, it's been in the context of him being an abject failure. So where's that riding a jock?
I think he's mad that we said he can get into the paint and dribble. Like, when we say the actual things he can do. But he's athletic.
He's got some athletic skills. You can't deny that. Oh. He's not the bust yet. He may be.
I think he was just mad.
What are you chastising us for?
I think he's just mad.
We haven't brought him up since.
It's Markelle Fultz's fault, not us.
We didn't bring him up today at all. Or this week.
Come on, man.
Booney has an answer.
Oh, he does have the answer?
I know. He has an answer.
He has an answer. He's got to give me two players.
You got to tell me if this is the right answer. David Justice
is the Atlanta Brave that hits the home run. Now, there's an Oriole game also that he watches because, obviously, you get the Orioles in D.C.
Yeah. Randy Milligan.
That is correct. Booney is me. Randy Milligan. A big hulking first baseman who played for the Orioles. It's a game-winning hit on television as Cruz has the bat on his shoulder.
I kind of remember the David Justice now. I would have never, ever, ever gotten.
And the announcer goes, and it's gone. It's a home run. And I don't believe it. And that's what the commentary is in the background. And it's David Justice who hit it.
How many times have you seen that movie?
A Few Good Men?
Yeah.
I picked on that scene right away, though, like one of the first times I saw it.
Why? Because you're that much of a baseball guy?
Why? Because I was watching a TV screen. It was a baseball game on TV while the scene was proceeding, and I saw it was a Braves, and David Justice had an unmistakable swing.
Yeah.
He had an unmistakable left-handed power swing. And I said, David Justice. Because they didn't even name him in the commentary. They just said, it's a home run, and I don't believe it. But it was David Justice.
That's a good point.
I've seen the movie a lot. Like maybe 50 times.
Wow.
Let's go to Elmer and Ewing. Elmer, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Elmer.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Elmer?
Nothing much. Watching that game, it made me miss DeSean Jackson and Shady McCoy. You know? But anyway, on with that, I feel Andy Reid's going to win it. And I feel next year we're going to be right back. And I say the second round is going to be KC versus the Eagles in the playoffs.
Well, it can't be in the second round. They're in different conferences.
Yeah. Well, for the Super Bowl.
Oh, the Super Bowl. You think it's going to be a Super Bowl? The Eagles and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, Elmer?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wanted to say one more thing. I feel in the draft we should tack, probably find Jason Peters' replacement.
I'm sorry, what was that? Could you repeat that again?
In the draft, I feel we should go Jason Peters, you know, replacement.
Jason Peters' replacement. Yeah, I wouldn't be averse to that at all.
Didn't get a running back. And one more thing, would you take a flyer on Kareem Hunt just for a security blanket?
I would, but I know what the public relations problems are in doing something like that, so I'm thinking the Eagles probably would not.
Well, anyway, go all defense after that because we need to protect Wentz. That's the important part. We was missing the running game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to
draft an offensive tackle with your first pick, number 25.
Yeah.
All right, let me see who's there. Thanks for the call. Let me see who would be in that category. Mel Kiper has the thing out today, the mock draft, first round. There's not a running back that he has in the first round. Not a lot of skill players he actually has in the first round.
It's a lot of defensive linemen. That's what this
draft
is.
He's got the Eagles taking a defensive end, another Sweat. Is this relation to Josh?
Oh, I don't know, but that guy can
Montez
play.
Montez Sweat.
I've seen him.
From Mississippi State.
Now, he's a productive player.
Now, Tim McManus was saying they would go defensive tackle because it's a historic draft or defensive end.
Yeah, for both.
And you know that Dexter Lawrence would still be on the board when the Eagles select from Clemson.
Well, the good thing is...
And the other tackle also will be there. They'll both be there, according to this mock draft.
I have to take one of them. Whichever one graded out better. They're winners. Like, they know how to win, so that means they would jump right into this atmosphere and not be overwhelmed because they're used to winning.
Both of those guys apparently will be available.
And they could put them right next to Fletcher Cox, and then you have a rotation guy, or you could put them in...
There aren't a lot of offense. Well, there's one actually here. The offensive tackle.
Is it Michigan?
Greg Little from Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Is the 18th player selected. So if the Eagles are that interested in an offensive tackle, that would be the guy that they would target. He looks like the
the highest. Well, now Juwan Taylor from Florida is ranked 11th.
I think they're probably going to go defensive line. Howie, in a lot of his drafts, is going defensive line.
The kid from Oklahoma, Cody Ford, who's supposed to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, yeah, he actually was really good.
All right, let's go Tony in the Poconos. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Tony?
Hey, look, I got two things. One, everybody's on this stuck on this Foles-Wentz thing.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Roseman and Peterson come out, it's Wentz. Move on. You know, like, we got so many other things. We can lose Graham, Hicks, Jernigan, Barnett, Bennett. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What's going on with Maragos? He was a special teams, core special teamer, cat.
Yeah.
We got other things to worry about. Look, the decision's been made on Foles and Wentz. Like it or not.
People just don't like to give it up. They want to fight to the death.
Yeah,
there's still people trying to figure out how they can have both of them. Really?
You can't play him. It ain't going to happen. Any other year, we'd be talking right now about Howie Roseman pulling a rabbit out of his hat because you got Le'Veon Bell out there. You're going to have Antonio Brown out there. Kareem Hunt. What's Howie going to... Man, not a whisper. Y'all stuck on something that it's already been decided.
Yeah, but you don't understand. Listen, Tony, I get you, but I understand why. Because I understand how hard it is for people to give up on their own.
Look, I'm 51 years old. I've been an Eagles fan my whole life. Foles did great. No, you know what I mean? Hats off to him. The man got a statue.
Yeah. Well, it's like you own a Great Dane who's now like growing into Great Dane. That you like it's too big for your apartment, so you have to give it up.
But
it's tough to give it up, you know, because you had an infection for it.
Yeah, and you know what? Look, we're losing our defensive line coach, Chris Wilson, correct? He's going on. We ain't going to have him. We're losing our wide receivers coach. We ain't going to have him.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many other things you need to think about other than something that's already been decided. I mean, you know, look, I love what Foles did.
Well, listen, you can think the way you think, and they'll think the way they think. You
can't, I know.
You can't hope to convert them. You know, if they're going to hang on to Foles like grim death, then let them hold on to Foles of grim death. They'll have to face the reality of it. Sean in Malvern, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Sean?
Hey, man, you missed a couple good Tom Hanks movies there with Big and Splash.
No, please. See, that's my point on Tom Hanks. Big and Splash. Big? Come on, dude.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's better than them sappy dramas he did with Meg Ryan.
Well, my point is he's got three good movies in his whole repertoire, and everybody thinks he's Lawrence of Olivier.
No, I agree with you. I hate Forrest Gump. I think that's the most overrated movie ever.
Well, that's what I mean. I can do Gump.
No. But
train me in that voice for 3 weeks. I'll do the role of Gump.
All right, let's hear it, Mike. Do it.
Well, I can't. I need 3 weeks.
All right. I'll call you in 3 weeks.
All right. Now, would you like a topic to expound on?
Yeah, give me
it. Here it is. The topic is Brett Brown, adequate coach or not?
You know, that's a great topic, Mike. And I think Brett Brown has had his moments with the coaching, but overall, I think he's let us down here with a little bit of his decision making as far as rotating players in. You know, I think you've referred to it as the hockey line changes and things of that nature. But as far as what he's had to work with, I think he's done a pretty good job managing the you know, the nature of that locker room, you know.
You seem a little wishy-washy, Sean. This is not a direct opinion, one way or the other. Either you believe or not.
I'm going to believe with him until I see what happens this playoff run. And then I'll have to make a final decision. Right.
I agree with you. Listen, here's the test. If Elton Brand does his job, and that's, by the way, another topic that I would like to present this to the people a little later in the show. Elton Brand as GM. We believe in? I mean, I don't know. I don't know from Elton Brand. Is he capable of pulling off the type of deal that's going to transform this team to a team that can play with Toronto in a 7-game series? Because they certainly need more than what they have. Andy Deptford, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andy.
Mike, how we doing?
What's up, Andy?
Yo, man, as a sports fan, I'm so disappointed with the sport of boxing and what it became. As I'm waiting on to get on, I hear a pay-per-view Broner and Pacquiao. Oh, my Pacquiao, didn't he retire to be like a politician or something?
He came back.
I mean, you look at boxing in the 90s, every weight class had studs in it, man. I don't even know who the heavyweight champ is now. It's just such a shame overall as a sport. But I really wanted to call and hit on this Alshon Jeffries thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, as Philly fans, I think we're known for our grit, our toughness. You know, you're not going to come in our house and get a free ride, whether you're the opposing team or the opposing fan base. But everyone folds up on Jeffries. I mean, this guy dropped that pass. We could still be playing right now if he caught the pass. But not only Jeffries, you know, I put even more blame on Foles. You know, everyone wants to talk about this guy as a franchise quarterback and he can carry a team. You know, he had a good run at the end of the season. He sucked in the playoffs. 4 interceptions in 2 games. They averaged 15 points in 2 games. You had to get lucky with a kicker double doink in the field goal to win the game. You get 14 points in the first quarter.
Well, he did engineer the drive, so we can't forget about that point. But you know, false people are gone. They're in shock at your phone call right now. They're in shock.
If you eliminate the name of Foles and you just put any other quarterback's name with those numbers and that performance, people would be ripping them. People would be pissed. You can't take anything away from what he did for us last season. I look at Nick Foles. You know, what great attribute does he have?
Yeah.
His arm got strong.
Here it is. The disappointment that you're pointing out, that you're like, you, it's been honey poured over it. You know, you, apparently your disappointment didn't get the honey, but most of people's disappointment got honey coating.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm an Eagles fan. I'm always going to be an Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. Before Foles got here and when Foles leaves, I just want my team to win. And he played like crap in the playoffs.
All right, so you're mad at Foles and you're mad at Jeffrey. Forget it. Forget this solace. All right.
I don't give a crap about what they did in the regular season. Come on, man. We want some more jewelry.
At last, a hardcore Philadelphia fan emerges.
I like that fire right there. Because I kind of agree with him.
That's a good call.
Well, most of that fan's been dipped in honey. He's right. He didn't get dipped.
No, he's dipped in vinegar.
He is.
He's Vic Vinegar.
Vic Vinegar. Phil in Collingdale. Phil, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, Mike, how you doing?
Phil, what's up?
Yo, singular performance in the movie. Hanks doesn't have anything over Tom Cruise with the Born on the 4th of July.
He was brilliant in 4th of July.
He was robbed out of an award for that. They gave it to the guy for that movie, My Right Foot, yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he was robbed because that was a pretty good performance. But I thought that Magnolia was his best performance. People haven't seen the movie Magnolia. He was great in that movie.
Yeah, he was good. But
as the chauvinist, the male chauvinist.
Yeah. What the thing, you know, this thing with Carson Wentz, right? He's got this food truck. Why has he got this thing in Cherry Hill? Why did they even put it here in Philadelphia somewhere?
What food truck are we talking about? I'm not aware of the food truck.
This free food truck that he has, Carson Wentz.
Uh-huh.
With his organization, they put it over there in Cherry Hill. Why didn't he come and put it over here in the city somewhere?
Well, I can see he probably lives over there, and he figured he would do it in
his hungry people
his
over
environment.
Here. We're hungry.
Does he come into Philly, Tyrone, with that?
Yeah. He doesn't just go to one spot.
Yeah, he kind of in multiple spots.
He just goes to Cherry Hill and park forever.
It's a headquarters that he put there.
Yeah, but he could have put that over here, man. You know,
he lives in Jersey.
Right, and his wife lives there. She works with the organization as well.
In Jersey.
That truck goes everywhere.
That truck goes everywhere.
It's
West
everywhere.
Philly, North Philly, Camden.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him. He lives in Jersey.
The bar said hi.
You live in Jersey? Don't you have any sympathy for a Jerseyite?
No, they're not hungry in Jersey.
Oh, you're in Collingdale.
Man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I
thought you were in Collingswood.
I'm from North Philly, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, Phil.
It goes to North Philly.
It's a little harsh.
The guy's
set up in Jersey. I mean, that's his frame of reference for Philadelphia area is Jersey, which there, a lot of people have that frame of reference for Philly and live in Jersey. So that's all right.
Yeah, as long as it feeds people all over. It doesn't matter where your headquarters are. Plus, he might not want to be paying the wage tax on a charity. There's people who work for it. They would have to pay a wage tax if they're in Philly. They don't have to pay a wage tax.
It's charitable. You have to pay a tax?
If your employees still do. Some people, he doesn't, like the people who work for it.
It's a nonprofit, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you have a job for a nonprofit, you still pay a wage tax in anywhere.
You do?
Yeah, because you get a paycheck. Paycheck, the government don't care. They want the money. They want to cut.
You know, I can't rip him for the jersey thing. Look at the Flyers. Have been in Jersey forever.
And
it's utopia for them.
The Sixers are in Camden for their practice facility, so most of their stuff they do is in Jersey. The games are in Philly, but nothing else. I mean,
yeah, most of them live in PA, though. Most Sixers live in PA, most Flyers live in Jersey. Isn't that the way it works?
That's how it works. Yeah, they drive over the bridge. A lot of them live in Center City.
All right, 610-632-0975. Mike Masnelli Show, 97.5. The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. Back after this.
Fanatic Sports Update.
Bring on the Pacers. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law. The power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over 2 decades helping our community. Sixers hit the road to play the Pacers tonight. Joel Embiid is questionable with back tightness. Teams are neck and neck for third in the Eastern Conference. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Flyers beat the Bruins last night 4-3 for their second win in a row. Sean Couturier helped the rally with a hat trick.
Now tipped away at center ice. Couturier's in on the left side. Looks. He shoots. He scores! His first career hat trick as they rain down from the crowd. The Flyers have hat tricks in back-to-back games and now have taken a 4-2 lead.
They'll play the Canadiens on Saturday. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Eagles defensive line coach Chris Wilson and wide receivers coach Gunter Brewer will not return to the team next year. Hey, football fans, celebrate an epic game on February 3rd with Yellowtail Wines, available at your favorite local retailer. Yellowtail tastes like happy, imported by Dutch Family Wine and Spirits, Stamford, Connecticut. Watch your tail, drink responsibly. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Well,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Time to get an update on the Twitter poll. Mike Masnelli Show, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie, 4:30 Twitter poll update. It had been 73% of the people being optimistic about the Sixers' gauntlet of games here.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't moved over 1,600 votes, so 200 more votes since 3:30. Of the Sixers' next 12 opponents, 9 are playoff teams, and all 12 are over 500. Will the Sixers be better than 6-6? Like I said, stayed the same. 73% say yes, 27% say no.
All righty. Sounds good. By the way, I was reading a story about Bob Costa stepping away from NBC Sports, ending that era.
40 years.
He's been upstaged by Mike Tirico.
Well, they didn't hire Tirico for no reason.
There's not a role for him anymore, so he like took a gracious way out. Let me ask you, is he on a Mount Rushmore of national sports broadcasts?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Easy.
Is he?
Has to be.
I never liked him.
For 40 years, you haven't liked him?
No.
And he's a big baseball guy like you.
He's an obnoxious baseball guy. Is the difference between liking baseball and being smug about it.
No, he's a smug guy, but... Well,
I never fancied him.
Him? Cosell?
It's tough.
It's tough. To me, they're both on there, though. He's on there because he was the Olympics guy. He was football. He did...
Al Michaels?
Nah.
Not on the Mount Rushmore? You got Costas and Cosell? No Michaels?
I can't put Michaels yet because has he passed Summerall or Madden? To me, he hasn't passed either one yet. Doesn't mean he will.
He did so much more than both those guys. They were like...
Nah, not Madden, the Summerall. Summerall did the Masters and all that stuff.
All right, Summerall.
Summerall's up there.
But Madden was just an analyst. He gets...
All right, you can get rid of him. But Michaels... Yeah, no, I don't know if Michaels is... I love Michaels, but I don't know if he's passed Summerall.
All right. Interesting question. Todd McCungie. What's up, Todd?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, Todd?
Hey, I just want to say first off the bat, I've been listening to your show a long time, and I just want to say this is my favorite iteration of the show, and I think Tyrone and Natalie do a great job.
Yes, they do. Thank you very much for that.
Okay, and I just, yeah, I don't call often, but it's pretty much only when I hear one opinion, like, over and over that just gets under my skin, mm-hmm. and this one for me is the constant ragging on Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
There is that.
Yeah. So, like, when I watch him play and I hear people say, like, they're like, demanding that he needs to be able to take a jump shot, and I just wonder, like do they understand how good this guy is?
No, they don't understand how good it is. But I got to be honest with you. He captivates me more than anybody I've seen in a really long time in this town, and I'm with you on that. But I find it extremely odd, and one of the biggest oddities I've ever seen in Philadelphia sports, that he just won't shoot the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
there's just no excuse for it, Todd. I mean, really.
There's no excuse for it, but when I look at his skill set, like, you know, like, they want to compare him to a bunch of people, but, like, I see more of Giannis, and really, like, if you look at his stats, they're not very good at either from shooting.
But he at least will attempt the shot. See, when you attempt the shot, that gives you more room to do the other stuff that you do.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I mean, like, Giannis is shooting from like 30% or lower from three right now, and I don't even think that's much of a threat. What I would really like to see,
it's got to be defended. That's the point. See, they don't even defend Ben Simmons when it comes to that.
Well, what I want to see more of with Ben is more just attacking the rim. So, like, I think if he can just be more aggressive there, I think
you know, he pretty much does that on every possession, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I mean
what else does he do?
If he defers less. And, like, kicks to the hole more. Sometimes when he gets down like that, he's unstoppable.
Yeah, listen, he has a skill that no one else in the league has. And that's where people fall short on evaluating Ben Simmons. Because what he does is more special than anything anybody does in the league. Except maybe, you know, you have some exceptions. Giannis is an exception. James Harden is just, like, off the charts right now.
Yeah,
but the combination of what Ben Simmons, we shortchange that. Most people do, but it is equally maddening that he won't attempt a shot. Now, recently he has attempted a few shots.
He got a turnaround out of the post, which he's been doing more. He's doing that pretty regularly, and he's tried some on the elbow. Some, not a lot, a few from the elbow. You're right about that though, because when people watch him, it looks like his game is super incomplete. So you think he's not a good player because you're like, he didn't do this one huge thing that every other player in the league does.
Right. And but what he does, others can't.
No.
That's the thing that they shortchange.
He has played at such a high level lately and no one's talking about it. He mixed in a 20-29 game. He's getting out there and getting triple doubles. Or close to a triple-double whenever he wants, and wins for a playoff team. And we're kind of just, like, sloughing it off like it's nothing.
Yeah. By the way, this is Harden. Did I get this stat right? He scored 115 points, straight points, without being assisted.
Yeah, the last two games.
That's
so he's scoring.
Boggling.
So, other than
he's
Wilt.
He's just killing people.
If you take Wilt out of the equation... He's scoring more than anyone ever in a hard way because no one's assisting.
That's
anything.
Ridiculous. But that comes from his ability to get wherever he wants on the floor, including to the basket. But also, you can't defend him because you got to defend him from 30 feet. And he'll just drain jump shots. See, that's what we're like. Ben Simmons needs that. Like, to be that dominant a player. Like, that's mind-boggling. 115 points where you don't need anybody getting you the ball.
And he gets fouled so much because if you, like you said, you have to guard him way out there, then he blows by you, you got to foul him.
Exactly. And that's the thing that Simmons probably does not see. That kind of thing. But, listen, he gets to the basket most of the time, anytime he wants. But there are times when they're just going to try to wall him off. And in the playoffs, that's the strategy to wall him off. If he had the Harden effect... There's nobody that could ever guard him ever. That's why it's so frustrating. Kenny in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kenny.
Double M.
What's up, Kenny?
How you doing?
Good, man.
Listen, man, you guys, you and Ty in particular have made the mistake of
you fell in love with the prettiest girl in the room, and you refuse to look at her flaws. And when I talk about the prettiest girl in the room, I'm talking about Carson Wentz. Okay? Look, the guy was never a can't-miss prospect. He wasn't Andrew Luck. When Andrew Luck came out the draft, he was universally considered a can't-miss prospect. That wasn't Carson Wentz. Everybody's falling in love with the aesthetics of Carson, his mobility, his arm. You want to ignore his flaws. There was a tangible reaction to Nick Foles in that locker room. And Carson didn't get what Nick got. He didn't get it. He didn't get that reaction from his teammates. Okay, and what's going to happen is Carson's going to play another 11, 12 years in town, and he's going to have a good career. But he won't be a winner. Foles is a winner.
Yeah, but bro, hold on. The effect diluted. They didn't win. The effect he had diluted. They didn't win in the playoffs. Well, and he threw four interceptions, by the way.
They didn't win because the talent around him wasn't.
Oh, so that's the talent around him. So the games that he won, he had enough talent, but the games that he lose, conveniently you tried out, they didn't have enough talent.
Well, Mike, you tell me. Was Alshon Jeffery supposed to make that catch?
Well, yes. But that doesn't mean they were going to score.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Prior to that drive, how well had he played?
He played poorly.
Well, then the effect that you're saying diluted.
He played poorly in the Chicago game. So
where are you carrying this effect? It had limits.
It does, but Carson has limits as well.
Well, Carson is the younger, hardier guy.
The hardier is younger. I know he's younger.
Listen, man, you're breaking up. The skill set, the only way you can make that case that he was just trying to make is if the magic continued and he showed that he was impervious to any kind of a team that could stop him. He ran into two teams that stomped him in the playoffs. So that just went out the window. So I don't know how you keep holding on to that premise. He had to do so much more than Carson Wentz to get that job, and he just did not. You just have to get used to it. Tyrone in Philly, you hang out. You'll be our next caller on the other side. We'll take a quick break. It's the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
446, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. I was giving people topics a little earlier in the show to expound upon them. And one of the topics I threw out was that the controversy is going on in Chamonix High School in Bucks County with the Redskins name. And here's the question I have to ask, and I know there are people who are going to go, well, you're just a liberal. how can anybody be on the other side of keeping the nickname? Is the mascot that important that you would risk offending an entire race of people by keeping the name? This is what I don't get. It's an offensive name. Why would people fight to keep an offensive name? Can you explain that to me? That's not me being liberal. It's being commonsensical. Am I wrong on this?
I feel like a lot of it has to do with just a total disconnect from understanding where the insensitivity comes from. And not even being able to be empathetic and put themselves in somebody else's shoes. Because with a name like Redskins, it feels disconnected because it's not, you know, there's not like a direct correlation to a lot of people and Native Americans right now. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it seems so far removed that it's like, well, it's not that offensive because who cares? Well, when in reality, it's very offensive. And despite your personal interactions with Native Americans on a daily basis, which you may have none, there's still people out there that it's just antiquated and it just needs a new name.
Institution an educational institution,
right?
It's not like it's somebody with a business trying to defend their business in a storefront. These are people within the school hierarchy, within the school board itself, who are fighting to keep the name without regard that you're supposed to and your duties are as an educator to pass on respectful lessons to further educate people from not being discriminatory. This is what I don't get. How is anybody on the other side of this issue?
Well, a lot of people, don't care at all. They don't care about the next person. They make the rules, and that's that.
But they're being sued by the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. So once I get sued by the Human Relations Commission, I go, all right, well, the jig's up. You know, it's okay. It's no skin off my nose to change it. Like, change it to whatever you want. It's a freaking mascot.
You know, I always want
to. I don't understand it.
Now, from Penn Salkin, I talk about it all the time. I graduated from Penn Salkin. They are still the Penn Salkin Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Is that offensive?
No.
Okay, I was just...
No, that's not offensive, even though they're not called the Indians anymore. They're Native Americans, not called Indians, so that's a passé nickname. I graduated from high school our nickname was the Warriors.
Right.
Now, the Warriors were Warriors, right? The Seminoles were a tribe of Native Americans, right? But Redskins is a racial slur that people in past lives, have used as a direct racial slur. In this day and age, how do we still tolerate that part of it? And what's the point? What is the upside of it, of keeping the name?
I don't know. A lot of people whenever somebody does something, I always ask why. And if the only thing they can answer is because we've always done it that way, I don't think it's a good answer. I bet you that's their answer. Their
answer is it's steeped in tradition. It's part of the tradition. Just go, all right, so traditions sometimes get outgrown.
Well, and there were a lot of traditions in this country
that we've gotten rid of.
That we've gotten rid of.
You used to have to build extra sets of bathrooms just all willy-nilly. Doing that. That was a tradition.
African-Americans couldn't sit on the front of a bus. That was a tradition.
So, you know, but evolution's hard.
All right, I know people go, you're a liberal. It's just wrong. What are you fighting for? Tyrone in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyrone.
Hey, good evening, guys.
What's up, Tyrone?
Nothing much. So I just wanted to ask you guys' opinion about something that me and one of my friends were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like really hard on Joel Embiid and like how he sits out, you know, sometimes. And I'm like, dude, like, he's not, like, he thinks he's injury prone. He thinks that he won't last long. And I'm like, dude, like, stiffness in your back is kind of like one of those injuries. I feel like they're just trying to give him some rest. I don't think he needs to be as hard. And I just wanted to see, like, do you guys kind of feel the same
way? Well, does he know that everybody in the league gets rest from time to time? It's not just Joel Embiid who's sitting out a game.
That's what I was telling him. I'm like, dude, like, sometimes he gets stiff.
It's 82 games, man. That's a pound. He's 270 pounds going up and down. Yeah, that's not easy to do for 82 games.
Exactly. And he's like, nah, man, like he needs to be out there. He messes up the floor. I'm like, dude, like, relax. Like,
your friends don't see what he does for this team? Seriously?
He does, but he's just like, I don't know. He's kind of anal, I guess.
Tyrone, you got to educate.
I've been trying, man, but he wants to scream and holler. I don't
know. You got to give him the harumph at that point.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of dismiss him. Dude, come on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And I'm just like, yo, dude, like, you see how he performs when he does play? Mm-hmm. Like, does that show that he's, like, really injured? Or is he just, you know, getting a rest here and there?
Yeah, there are many people in the league can play like Embiid. He's like, playing at an MVP level. Do they understand that?
Exactly. And one more thing. That guy clearly doesn't listen to you guys because he's like, you guys were riding. Like,
Ryan Fultz is jock. Ryan Fultz's job.
What?
Maybe he heard Foles and he thought we were talking about Fultz. That's the only thing I can figure.
Yeah, maybe he got a little tongue tied or something because I'm like, no, I do not agree with that. I've never heard you guys riding this dude's jock.
No, and we haven't brought the guy's name up in weeks.
and weak, man. Like, I was so confused. I was like, what?
Yeah,
what?
No, I hear you. Somebody emailed me and said that guy is like a New York guy who makes the same point when he calls other shows that about Fultz. He just hates Philly. Whatever.
That sounds correct.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah. So that's the name of that tune. Okay. So thanks for everybody watching on TV today, NBC Sports Philadelphia. And the Mike Mazzanelli Show has plenty more to go in the 5 o'clock hour. And it's all up to you. We may go back to the topics. In the 5 o'clock hour, I will challenge you with some topics you want to pontificate on them. You got it. Mike Mazzanelli Show. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We're back on radio after this.
Playing the Pacers. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Guided Door Window. Guided's big winter sale has been extended through January. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 877-GO-GUIDE or visit GOGYDA.com. Sixers hit the road to play the Pacers tonight. Joel Embiid is questionable with back tightness. The teams are neck and neck for third in the Eastern Conference. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Flyers beat the Bruins last night 4-3 for their second win in a row. Sean Couturier helped the rally with a hat trick.
Now tipped away at center ice. Couturier's in. On the left side, looks, he shoots, he scores! His first career hat trick as they rain down from the crowd. The Flyers have hat tricks in back-to-back games.
They'll play the Canadians on Saturday. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Eagles defensive line coach Chris Wilson and wide receivers coach Gunter Brewer will not return to the team next year. Our Big Green giveaway continues all week long. Listen for your chance at $1,000. For people with heart disease, asthma, or cancer, the flu hits hard. If you're not feeling well, take your temperature with the Exergen temporal scanner. It's easy to use and the most accurate thermometer available. We know you're busy, so we've made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eggenoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.